Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, I'm Glenn Davis. Hope the holidays are going great for you. We have assembled some of your favorite interviews from throughout 2017. So listen and enjoy. Time now for the Carlsberg Team of the Week. Carlsberg, probably the best beer in the world. Now, Denmark's going to the World Cup. It's a great story. Danish beer, Denmark, it's a great fit. Carlsberg, probably the best beer in the world. And our thanks to Carlsberg and Clay Cavillion, a huge Liverpool fan. Also, Kings Court, it's the real soccer pub in Edo, right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins, 15 TVs, they got a giant screen there, Premier League matches, Dynamo matches, La Liga, Champions League, 24 taps, full bar, get over to Kings Court, rooftop deck and patio, sits in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium, KingsCourtTX.com. And with that, we are very grateful and very thankful, as always, when Dynamo players come in studio. And And Philippe Senderos joins us now, the former Arsenal man, has now made it, signed with the Dynamo during the regular season in the transfer window, played in the regular season, and has become so important here in the playoffs. Philippe, thank you very much for making the effort to come in here. It means a lot to me and our listeners.
Thank you for having me today.
All right, so my first question is, because I've heard your name pronounced so many different ways in so many different countries, please pronounce your full name.
Philippe Senderos.
Senderos. Okay, so I wasn't that far off.
No, I think you were pretty good.
I was okay. Yeah, I was close. Yeah. I probably wasn't right there.
It's a Spanish name, so Senderos means a path, like a.
But
a
you said path. Senderos.
I said
I've heard people
the way you
say
want me to
Senderos.
Senderos
is okay
is
as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
so
either one
it
works.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah. As long as you say every letter in the word in the my name, it's fine.
Senderos.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So, Philippe, first of all, it was a wonderful match you played in Portland, and I think you proved a lot of people wrong because you know as footballers you get criticized a lot. There's praise. There's criticism. Just talk a little bit about how you got prepared here to come to Houston, because in the commercial break you were telling me you went back to Arsenal, your old club, and you did some very important training there and fitness work.
Yeah, my home is in London, so my family's there, and I was there, and I had the opportunity to go and train at Arsenal, so they let me train there with a fitness coach who works with the youth teams, and yeah, that was very helpful for me to be able to prepare. And then I had the chance to come to Houston. I came over for a week, trained and saw the club, the facilities, and met the people here. And then I went back to London and got another couple of weeks where I could think about it and talk with my family and make sure that was the right decision for me. And in the end, we decided to come over. So yeah, it's been long because I had to wait a little bit for everything to go through. But once it was done, you know, there was no doubt in my head that I wanted to come here and work hard.
How did the original contact with Major League Soccer come? Did somebody reach out to you? Was it a league you were interested in? Obviously, Thierry Henry from Arsenal, and you've seen all the exodus of a large number of players from Europe coming here.
Yes, I've been in Europe for all my career, so I was looking for something different. I mentioned it to my agent. My agent reached out to the league, and I had the chance that, you know, somehow Wilmer contacted me one day, and we went on from there.
Tremendous. Getting into the Dynamo and establishing yourself in a new team is not always easy for any player, even a player with your stature that's played in World Cups, that's played in the Premier League. You seem a very humble guy. When you go into a new situation, what is it like and what's important for a player to do when you go into a new situation? Because, look, the guys see you come in. There's guys that are saying, hey, this guy could take my playing time. They could say, Senderos is here, and what's he going to really contribute? How serious is he? I mean, there's all these questions that go on in the minds of players when the new guy comes?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. You know, especially, you know, someone coming from Europe, what is he coming here for? Is he coming on holiday? Is he coming to experience just to the nice life of United States? No, that's not what I came here for. And I try to prove it every day in training. You know, I put a lot of work and a lot of serious about what I do every day. And for me, the attention to detail is very important. So whatever I do, a training will reflect what I do in the games.
Your professionalism, I mean, it bleeds when you're on the field. You see it. You're very sound positionally. I would assume your reading of the game at this stage of the career, your positional play is ultra important, right?
It is very important. It's always been very important because I've had to compete with players who were maybe physically more developed and had other abilities. So I had to learn my trade with different qualities. So that's what I've tried to bring to the team. And yeah, I try to bring this experience to the team. And I have to say, you know, it's been brilliant. The guys, the lads at the club have welcomed me. And Wilmer has been brilliant. The people, the staff, everyone's been great. So it's helped me a lot to settle down and to be able to bring my qualities for the team.
Philippe Senderos is in studio here with us tonight. We thank you very much, Philippe. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And, you know, when you look at this move by the Dynamo to acquire you and you to come here, this is hugely important now, just based on the playoffs with the injury to Leonardo. So I hope fans realize that out there, and I hope fans realize the background that Philippe does have here. So I'm going to ask you a kind of a fun one here for our listeners. Most difficult striker you ever played against?
I have the chance that I've played against very good ones. You know, I've played against the Ronaldo. The real Ronaldo.
The real Ronaldo. Thank you very much for saying the real Ronaldo.
Other people say
camp.
Fat Ronaldo. I prefer the real Ronaldo.
I do too.
Yeah, I've played against him. I've played against Aguero. I've played against Messi, Cristiano. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it's difficult to pick one out. I've had tough battles against Drogba as well, so I remember those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Aguero's is a brilliant, brilliant striker, and, yeah, I'd say I'd put him, but all of them were great. Yeah.
What was it like in those days at Arsenal? I mean, you were there when the Invincibles were there, right?
Yeah, I just moved
you just
that
came
year.
In that,
yes.
At that point.
I didn't play
it,
that year, but
what
I was
it
there.
Like to be around that? That must have been incredible.
That team was incredible. That team was unbeaten, and you knew, even if you were going two goals down, there was a belief in that team. There was champions in that team, and they knew they were going to come back. And that belief, that the fact that they were convinced about them, what they had to do on the pitch, is really what brought so much success to that team.
When you look at Arsenal today, what do you think? Because, you know, there's always the Patrick Vieira has never been replaced. The team doesn't have any steel. The spine, there's not enough powerful personality, yet they play wonderful football. It's appealing to the eye. What does an ex-player like you think about that?
I'm a big fan myself, and I support Arsenal ever since I left. ever since I joined, really. and I support Arsene as well, because I know what is brought to the football club, and also to the football in England and in the world. But it is frustrating, and I'm sure it is for everyone at the club as well. But the club's gone through very good times. I was part of it. I had the chance that I was part of this, and then continue to make the Champions League every single year. And this is a massive achievement for a club like Arsenal, especially moving to the new stadium. We know they had financial issues moving to that new stadium. Once they finished paying for that new stadium, we cannot see. If you're not there, you can't see the changes that have happened at Arsenal. The training ground is maybe five times bigger than it was. The stadium is just taking the club to a whole new level. They've signed players that they would never be able to sign before. So, you know, the club has really taken a step up. But if you look at the results and the trophies, yes, it is difficult. It is more difficult because there is a lot more money in the league. All the other teams have got a lot better. And not only one or two can compete for the league, but now it's become six, maybe seven teams who can win the league every single year. And so it is a lot harder. And even the team who comes last or relegated can still sign players for 20 million or something like this. So it is a massive difference to back in the time.
Dynamo center back Philippe Senderos played at Arsenal. Also, three World Cups with Switzerland. What was it about Arsene Wenger that made him a special manager in your mind?
His vision of football and his mentality. The fact that he had the freedom to control a lot of things at Arsenal gives him the freedom in a way to set the standards. And and once you have that, you know, you can work in with more peace. And once you install this mentality that he has and this vision of football that he has, and that the people buy into it, then you start getting results.
Your dad was an agent?
No.
No, your dad wasn't an agent.
No.
Okay.
It was just being my dad and helping me out.
Yeah. Is your dad in Switzerland?
Yes, he is.
And your family's there?
Yes.
So your first club was Servette?
Yes.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Very
perfect.
Good. So, just tell me about the education early on there from a footballing standpoint and how you got into the game and what were your major influences, because as you know, our whole player development system in the United States is being questioned right now after not getting into the World Cup.
Yes, so personally it was like this. My dad is a crazy football fan, so a soccer fan. He supported Real Madrid all his life. And he tried to put my brother to play football, and he wouldn't play. He wanted to play basketball. And then when I was little, he tried with me, and I loved it from the beginning. So they brought me to Servette, to my first club at 5 years old. Because I was tall, I got in. Normally you have to start at six, so I started at five and went up all the way to the first team. At 16, I made my debut with Servette.
Unbelievable.
And 2 years later, I signed for
you join as a five-year-old, yeah. And 10 years later, you're in the first team. It's remarkable.
With the same team, so I never moved away. Everything was close to my house. From my balcony, I could see the lights of the stadium. So I grew up being a ball boy at the stadium, and dreaming of playing for Servette at first.
So let me ask you, just the fact that you live near that stadium and you saw that visual. That visual place that, you know, you as a little kid were walking by it and looking out there going, I want to
play. This is where I wanted to be.
This is incredible.
Yeah, this is where I wanted to be.
Your family was very good at picking the right place to live. Your parents, you got to give them credit for that.
Definitely. Oh, I was lucky we were lucky that we were living close to the stadium and close to where we trained. Because it would have made a massive difference if I had to drive a long way. So it was perfect for me, you know, growing up, going to school and having the soccer next to where I lived. So that was perfect.
Philippe Senderos, the Dynamo center back, joining us in studio, played at Arsenal, played at a number of other clubs, three World Cups for Switzerland. You know, I might have joked about that a little bit, you living near the stadium, but that's so important for young players, isn't it, to have the visuals there, to be crossing paths with the first team players, to have that connection, to have that organic stuff that comes along with having a training facility right near where the first team plays their games.
Yeah, I think so. And to be able to see that it is possible, you know, living so close, you dream of this, but it is possible. You see other people doing it and you think, yeah, you know what, it's possible to make a living and live from your passion and live from playing football, playing soccer every day. And that was my dream since I was little. Everyone wanted to be doctor, this, that, and I wanted to play soccer. That was the only thing for me. And I pursued it, and I had my family helping me, you know, along the way. And you know, you have to be lucky, but you have to force your luck a little bit. So I worked hard at it, and I was convinced that this is what I wanted to do and nothing else.
What age did it click in your brain that just said, I want to play for this team professionally?
I think I was playing for the best team in the region of Geneva. So, you know, when you start winning, it's just like a drug. You want to keep winning. And you know, at 14, we started winning everything. and winning everything, not only in the Geneva region, but everything in Switzerland. It's, I mean, I can't compare it with Texas or the U.S. because the size difference is massive. But once you start winning, like I said, you want to keep winning. And yeah, for me, I was convinced from then on. I wanted to play for Servette first, and then slowly started to understand that, you know, I could do this for real. So I started to dream, and for me, playing in England was always a dream.
Philippe Senderos joining us in studio. 23 years old, you're loaned to Milan in Italy, one of the biggest clubs in the world. They had injuries to a couple of small name players named Alessandro Nesta and Paolo Maldini. What was that pressure like?
Well, first, I came on the back of a good season with Arsenal, but I could see that in the new season I wasn't going to have as many opportunities. And we played in the Champions League against AC Milan the year before, and I had a good performance. So they called me and they said, look, you played well against us, so join us this year on loan. So I had the chance to do that. And for me, it was amazing. At 23, to be able to play for Milan with the champions that they had. They won the Champions League, World Cup. They did everything. It was a great opportunity, especially at that age. And I needed something new. So coming out at Arsenal, you're always in the same environment. And now going back and playing for Milan was a different kind of pressure. Okay.
What's Major League Soccer been like to you? Quality of play, everything involved. Give me some thoughts.
It's been interesting. It's been very interesting because you can see that anyone can beat anyone. It's very open. And we've proved with our team that even without designated players or big signings, big players from abroad.
You're a big signing.
Compared to other ones. Players who will make more of the difference. We've proved that with other qualities, we've been able to compete and to even beat them, you know. So we're a great success story this season, but we can't forget why we've been successful until now. And this is the important part in this season.
Philippe, thank you very much for coming in. This has been wonderful. I want to invite you up here again because I think we could probably talk football for two straight hours. Maybe we'll just do a 2 hours and we'll talk about football all over the world, and if that would be something that interests you.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I love talking about football, so whatever. Yeah.
Well, let's do it again, and let's have you up here for an extended period of time,
sure.
and we'll talk all kinds of topics, not only about you, but we'll talk the world game as well, and Major League Soccer, as you continue to keep doing a great job. By the way, you're such a humble guy, you know, and you look like such an intimidator on the field, but you're such a humble guy, and I really respect that.
Thank you.
A real gentleman.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for the invite, and hopefully a lot of people come to the stadium because we need everyone's support here in Houston.
You heard it from Philippe Senderos. Get out to the Western Conference Final against Seattle. Hey, as host of Soccer Matters, I remind you, nothing goes better. Great friends in Bud Light. Grab your friends, grab an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties, it's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is an official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And for the Daspit Law Firm, moment for John and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, will bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. The Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7, DaspitLaw.com.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue on with the best of 2017. And soccer fans, remember, the real soccer pub is in Edo. It's Kings Court right next to the stadium. 903 Hutchins, 13 TVs, giant big screen at the Kings Court, showing Premier League, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, and the Dynamo in Major League Soccer. Kings Court has 24 taps, a full bar, great selection of spirits, plus wonderful pub food. I recommend the butter chicken or the curry. Get over to Kings Court, visit the amazing rooftop deck that sits in the shadows of the stadium, and say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com. J. Jason Longshore of Soccer Down Here. It's the podcast at Soccer Down Here, at Longshoe, L-O-N-G-S-H-O-U. He's a commentator for Atlanta United. He joins us now. Jason, thank you very much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, so let's talk about what has been an amazing year. And I just let me lob you a softball here and just kind of now that you've had an opportunity to kind of just sift through this entire season and the phenomenon that was what Atlanta was, what comes to mind?
It's just crazy to look back at it. I mean, the crowds, I think, is the number one thing. And not even just the sheer numbers, but the noise and the atmosphere generated. You know, it's easy to get people out one time for something new and something shiny. And Atlanta had done well with big events. You know, Mexican national team games always did well here. Friendlies with Club America, AC Milan did well here. But the passion around this team, I thought that would take more time. I thought it would take time for the fans to grab onto these players, but they did straight away. Opening night, back at the beginning of March, which feels like forever ago, so many people in Atlanta United gear, in the jersey, in the red and black and gold, in Bobby Dodd Stadium. That blew my mind. Just to see that many people fully emotionally invested from day one, I didn't expect it. And it's been the catalyst for everything else that's happened since.
Yeah, I think that's a tremendous point now that I really think about that when you're saying it. But how much of that was, you know, the lead up to this, the announcement of the team and Martino and players and tilling of the soil in Atlanta? I mean, how much of that comes down to what the front office did and the vision of this club?
That's it, exactly. It's all of that combined, because Atlanta United didn't go the route that so many other new MLS teams have gone. They didn't go sign a David Villa. They didn't go try to sign a big name. They went with steady growth. I mean, the city was ready for this first off. There were thousands of people on hand when the team was announced back in 2014. Thousands more on hand when the logo and the name was officially announced, even though it had been leaked about a week before.
And yeah, I heard you leaked it, Jason.
It was not me.
I'm just messing with you. It's really funny.
I
wouldn't be surprised if it was you, though. You're on top of everything down there.
I try to be, but that day I was actually with Darren Eels and Carlos Bocanegra. I worked for Soccer in the Streets, a great nonprofit here in the metro area. And I was with those guys when the leak happened. And we didn't know it had leaked until I actually got back to the office. But Darren was on the phone all afternoon, and we didn't know why. And then we found out a couple hours later. It was a chaotic time. But the team has just built every step along the way. Something new has happened, and it hasn't been a big splashy signing. It's just been solid moves to build a team that was a lot of fun to watch and really successful in year one.
Jason Longshore joining us here, commentator for Atlanta United, at Soccer Down Here and at Longshoe, L-O-N-G-S-H-O-U. Is there any, and I don't think so, but is there any concern about novelty factor wearing off?
No, I really don't have that concern. I think the biggest thing is the team does have to keep being successful. You know, that's sports today, though. You know, I don't think that's uniquely an Atlanta thing. Sure. I think people want to support a winning team and a team that's fun to watch, and they, you know, check those boxes in year one. They're going to have to continue to do that. But I don't expect the novelty factor to be an issue. You know, so many people are season ticket holders now. You're talking 36,000 plus. Renewals were strong. I don't expect there to be a drop off. I think if anything, Atlanta United front office is considering opening up more of the stadium to season tickets because of the demand is there. And the gear is selling. I still driving around town. I still see the Atlanta United flags everywhere. It's the thing now. And Atlanta United has become really behind the Atlanta Falcons and NFL in this town and your college teams. Atlanta United has surpassed the Braves and surpassed the Hawks in really capturing the city.
Jason Longshore joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Before I get to Houston and Atlanta and some of the similarities in the market, my gut tells me they sold more than just Atlanta United. They sold the sport. They sold the diversity of the sport. They sold the city of Atlanta. Is it more, is it important, per se, to sell more than just your brand? Position that brand in the global game of soccer and Atlanta Pride.
The Atlanta Pride thing is huge. And, I mean, I think back to the Atlanta Braves in 1991 when they had been awful for decades. And when they got strong, the whole city jumped on board. And that's what it felt like in a way here, because everyone was on board. And I just think back to so many friends of mine that, you know, I'm a sports fan. I've had Falcon season tickets. I go to Hawks games. I love sports in general, but soccer's always been my thing. And so many people that I was friends with due to other sports or other teams jumped on board with us. People I would never expect to be texting me asking why Tata Martino just made that substitution. That's how this was happening. Wow. All season long. And it's just been a fascinating process. I think Atlanta Pride is big, but I think so much of it has just been connecting with people. You know, soccer's grown in Atlanta over the decades, but it hasn't ever connected in this way. And people felt like they were part of this the whole way through.
Jason, when I look at the cameras panning the crowd, and by the way, Atlanta was one of my teams that I'd like to watch in Major League Soccer, simply because I love the playing style as well, let alone the environments. But when I saw the cameras panning the crowd, I saw every type of ethnic group, every color, every ethnic group, every age, every gender. It was everything. And I kind of likened it to Houston because, you know, we always get dogged as not being a premier sports town. And, you know, we're not New York and L.A. I would kind of maybe put Atlanta there. Just speak to me about the diversity of the crowd, though, because there is a diverse crowd there. I mean, you got hardcore soccer people there. You got newbies. You got youth soccer people there. You got everything.
Yeah, incredibly diverse. And it really ran the gamut of people that I know were at these games. People that, you know, I grew up with playing soccer, you know, late 80s, early 90s. People who have coached here for years. People who are brand new fans. People who have been longtime Falcons fans who wanted to try this out and got hooked. I mean, I can't tell you how many people listen to our broadcasts on 989 The Game that listen to that station for Falcons coverage because they're the Falcons flagship. And we're like, hey, what is this soccer thing? I don't get it. And then after a couple games, they would be, hey, we listen to you every game. We want to hear everything about Atlanta United. It's just such a cool mix. And that's Atlanta. Atlanta is such a diverse city. And Houston is as well. You know, that's the beautiful thing about this is you can get all walks of life at these games. And when it's good soccer and it's successful and it can connect with people, I think you see what happened in Atlanta this year. In my opinion, it really can shepherd in a new era for MLS, and I think open some doors. And it doesn't have to be a small thing. It can be big. I think Atlanta showed that in 2017.
Yeah, I'll say. Bar's been raised a little bit, and I think that's the other beautiful thing that the Atlantas and the Seattles have done, and that is raise the bar for others because it's only going to lift everything. Jason Longshore joining us, Atlanta United commentator. Okay, so guys like Miguel Almiron, Yosef Martinez, your star players, are they out in the community a lot?
They have been, and for guys like Almiron and Martinez and Tito Villalba, you know, that was the other element of this that I don't think many people have talked about this season is your star players for Atlanta United are primarily Spanish speakers first. And Atlanta United, you know, Atlanta has a strong Latino population, but it's been English language media that's barely jumped on board with this team in a big way, and that wasn't an issue. You know, I think a lot of people thought it might be at first, but Almiron jerseys, Martinez jerseys all over the stands. And those guys seem to really love the city. You know, Yosef Martinez was at Braves games a lot. Almiron was out at activities. A lot of those guys go to Hawks games. Tito Villalba is a huge basketball fan. And then the organization has been so involved in the community, and that comes from Arthur Blank. His foundation has done so much in the city. The team has been a big part of that, from youth events to actually investing in public school leagues in Atlanta public schools. they're doing a lot to look at the next generation for this club. You know, it's not just about selling as many tickets as possible now. It's about creating a culture, and they really checked all the boxes on that.
Yeah, sinking roots for the long term. Doesn't surprise me Yosef Martinez would be at a baseball game being Venezuelan, right?
Yeah, and in Ciarte for the Braves, I think they're actually pretty good friends, two Venezuelans in Atlanta, kind of dominating in both sports.
Pretty cool. You got a good young player in Andrew Carlton, who was with the under-17s. I had broadcasted that World Cup. Transfer rumors here. Last thing I want to talk to you. Are you buying this that Almirón and Martinez have had transfer overtures that may be double what Atlanta United paid for them?
That sounded really big. And these were from MLSsoccer.com saying that over the summer, it was 20 to 25 million for Almirón and 10 million for Martinez. It's possible. I think Almirón's maybe a little more likely at that number because he was pretty highly valued before coming here and he did nothing to hurt his value. He only added to it. It's a tough spot for Atlanta United. And this is something with a fairly newer fan base that, you know, it's one of the big questions we get on soccer down here is, should they sell? What happens when they sell? How do they replace these guys? You know, kids who are growing up now as Miguel Almirón fans, what happens? You know, what do they think? Because it's a new process. But I think there is, for Almirón and for Martinez and every player, and we all know this, there is a price at some point that you have to make the sale. And I think that's what Atlanta has built this team on, is getting young talent in, putting them in that shop window, and giving them a platform to be successful going to Europe. Miguel wants to be in Europe. Not sure if it's going to be 2018. Tata Martino reportedly told Paraguayan media that it's going to be 2019 before they consider that. We'll see, but they're definitely attracting a lot of attention, you know, from these crowds, from these games being broadcast internationally, and their performances here for Atlanta.
Jason, you're a good man. Thank you very much for coming on tonight. I want to get you on again because I want to continue to talk what is an incredible story with Atlanta United and the sport of soccer in the city of Atlanta. Jason Longshore, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Anytime you need me. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's good stuff there from Jason. He is at Longshu, L-O-N-G-S-H-O-U. Also at soccer down here. A moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. Bilingual, whether you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant, refinery, or 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, the Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Call 713-322-HURT or go to the website for advice at DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law, the presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight on Soccer Matters, we're going to wind it up in very, very big fashion. A great signing for the Houston Dynamo, one that has roots at Bear Creek Soccer Park, DaspitLaw.com, now a presenting sponsor. John Daspit will treat every case like it's his own. He'll work for you 24-7, 713-364-0915 or toll-free 1-888-273-1045. Daspit Law Firm, they're bilingual. They'll take a personalized approach. You might be in a car accident, motorcycle, oil field, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, industrial accidents, you name it. They will have you covered. DaspitLaw.com, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. All right. The person I was talking about, Arturo Alvarez, grew up here in Houston playing for Bear Creek United under former Houston hotshot Carlos Lessa. He also, he's a local product. He's come full circle. He's won MLS Cups in San Jose, has been on the Chicago Fire, and he's now back here in Houston. Arturo, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
No, Glenn, thank you for having me, and it's always a pleasure being here.
Well, listen, let's not start this interview off with soccer talk. Let's start this interview off with tomorrow's going to be a big day in your life. You're getting married, so I think we all want to, at Soccer Matters here, just congratulate you on your impending marriage.
No, thank you, Glenn. Yeah, I'm getting married tomorrow to Kenya, my fiance, and, you know, couldn't be more excited, and yeah, you know, just hope everything goes well, and, you know, we have such a good time celebrating a special day with family and friends.
Yeah, we had, Kenya was in studio with us, I remember a couple of years ago when she came up in studio with you, and we had a great time, great interview. I remember her very much, very nice woman.
Yeah, no, I'm a lucky guy.
Yes, you are, and you're also a happy guy for another reason as well, because you have desired to come back to your home city, Houston, and play for the Dynamo, and it's finally happened. Tell us how it went down and how surprised you were when you found out you were going to come back and play for the Houston Dynamo.
No, it was, I was, completely caught off guard, and I woke up on Sunday morning, got a phone call from my agent, telling me that I had been traded, and then he kind of gave it a little pause at the end, and he was like, you know, to Houston Dynamo, and I just, you know, I couldn't believe it. It was, it was a good way to wake up on Sunday morning, and, you know, it's just something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time.
Did you yell? Did you, you know, what happened? You start dancing? What happened when you knew you were coming back to Houston?
I was pretty excited. I was just thankful that I got the opportunity to, you know, to come back home and play in front of my family and friends. And, a city that I left 17 years, you know, almost is 16 years ago whenever I got drafted by the Earthquakes in 2003. It was always a question in the back of my head, asking myself if I would ever play for my hometown team. And now that I get the chance to do that, I couldn't be happier.
How does that make it more meaningful? Because, look, your game was honed on the fields here in Houston. Even though you've captained El Salvador, your game was honed here, and really we have to give major props to a man who was a big influence in your career, Carlos Lessa, who also played for the indoor team here professionally, the Houston Hotshots. But how does that make it even more meaningful? I get the whole family and friends side of it, but, I mean, this is like coming full circle here.
It really is, Glenn. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, this is the city that saw me grow up, and the place where I first started kicking a soccer ball. The soccer community here, especially the Salvadorian soccer community, is huge. I ended up transferring over to El Salvador to play for the national team there. I have a few caps under my belt, a few gold cups and as well, and qualifiers. And so it's just, it's been a crazy roller coaster, and it's been fun, and I have nothing but, good things about it. And yeah, I just, want to keep this right going. I want to be able to come here to the Dynamo and help in any way possible, field and off the field. So, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Arturo Alvarez just signed by the Houston Dynamo. This is his first interview, I believe, since becoming a Dynamo. And we definitely know the real deep Arturo Alvarez story. And it's one we need to tell because at the time you were playing youth soccer here, there were a number of players going into Major League Soccer. I mean, Stuart Holden, Josh Gardner, we can go on and on. A ton of guys would end up in Major League Soccer in and around your time period. So I have to think it's pretty prideful for you from a Houston perspective as well.
It is. I think it's not a lot of athletes, especially in professional sports, get a chance to, to play at home for their hometown team. And, it's something that you have to, just be, thankful for. And I think, this is something, like I told you, something I've been wanting to do since I was a little kid. There wasn't even a Dynamo team when I was, there was no professional team here when I was growing up. So, getting to represent the Dynamo, I think, is more than, just a club. It's the city, it's everything.
Arturo Alvarez joining us. So when you looked at the Dynamo last year, having played with them, and by the way, you were on the Chicago Fire. People know that. You guys really broke out of the gates early with Schweinsteiger and the addition of Dax McCarty. It was a big turnaround. You guys kind of flared out at the end of the year. But when playing with Chicago against the Dynamo, what stands out to you about the Houston Dynamo when you played them this year?
Dynamo, I think it was a team that, I think was playing with a lot of confidence. And I think that was coming from, you know, I think the coach kind of gave that to their players, which is something that I noticed. Everyone was running for each other, helping each other out. Obviously there's a lot of pace up front for the Dynamo, so it's something that kind of helped their game plan. And it was a tough game for us here. It wasn't one of our best with the Fire, but I'm not surprised at all that Dynamo went as far as they did, just because. I think the whole year they show that they care for each other and they wanted the best for their team.
You see Wilmer Cabrera and what he did this year. How do you see yourself? And I know this team is going to morph and change with signings and new acquisitions, and some people are going to go. There's no doubt about that. But how do you see yourself fitting into the Houston Dynamo?
Yeah, I think it's something that I'm going to have to figure out, along with the coaching staff as soon as, preseason comes around. So, the best thing that can happen for a coach or, for anyone is having some good competition in all different positions in the field. And I think I'll bring that to the Dynamo. So, I think we're just going to have to wait and see where that comes for me in terms of where it's going to be my best position to play at and go moving forward.
Who are some of the attacking players you're interested in playing with? I mean, obviously Tomas Martinez, the Argentine, is very good on the ball like you. You've got La Pantarita has been re-signed, which is a real big deal. The Honduran, along with Romel Kyoto. I got to think that you guys that are creative players always kind of get attracted and find each other in teams.
Yeah, I've played these, the Honduran guys, on the national team level as well. So, I know them pretty well, and obviously from the league. And I'm excited to, not just those guys, I'm excited to, to get with everyone else on that team. And hopefully, we can build from the last season and hopefully, this time make it all the way to MLS Cup Final.
Now, obviously, the Salvadorian community is very, very familiar with you. I mean, you went to the heights of captaining El Salvador, which is a big deal, even though you weren't born in El Salvador, right? You were born here in Houston. Am I correct when I say that?
Yeah, I was born and raised here in Houston. I switched over to playing for El Salvador national team in 2009. And, I got to, be the captain for the 2015 Gold Cup. It was a great honor to do that, it's been fun with El Salvador. So and I'm back on the national team with them as well. So a new coach, another Colombian coach that I'll be working with. So it's gonna be good.
I gotta think that you are gonna be a real. You could be the thing that kind of opens up a deeper connection for the Dynamo with the El Salvadorian soccer community here, because they are passionate soccer fans. I've seen them come out for you when you've played for them and captained them. So I think from a standpoint of off the field bringing in some new Dynamo fans, I think you could be the guy to do that.
Yeah, no, I think it would be great to community, and, they love their soccer, so I think... Now that they know that I'll be here, I think hopefully they can, continue with their, unconditional support that they've always been giving me. So hopefully we can see that with the Dynamo. That'll be great.
Arturo Alvarez joining us here. Arturo, you were an under-20 U.S. international. Why the switch to El Salvador?
It was one of those situations. I was with the 23s for the U.S. national team, for the Olympic team. I was one of the guys getting cut. And then I think the Salvadorian coach, at that time it was Carlos de los Cobos, Mexican guy. He found out that I was Salvadorian descent, got a hold of me and said that he really liked the way that I played and that the doors were open for the El Salvador national team, and at that time it was they were playing the qualifiers for the World Cup. They were in the Hex, and it took me about you know, 4 or 5 months to really think about it, and I decided to do it, and, you know, I have no regrets, and, you know, it's been fun, you know, obviously playing, you know, playing in El Salvador for the national team, the way that they welcome me, you know, with open arms, not only the national team and the players, but also, you know, the fans, the country, and, you know, knowing that I wasn't even, you know, I wasn't born there and raised there. They, you know, they took me in with open arms and a lot of love, so.
Before I let you go, you got to give us a few words on Carlos Lessa and what he meant to you and your player development growing up here in Houston.
Oh, man, Carlos Lessa, you know, he's almost like a second dad, a father figure to me. You know, to be quite honest, I don't think I've ever met another more skillful soccer player in my life. It's a guy that I picked up a lot of kind of like, you know, skills and that, you know, street soccer mentality or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, he's a great guy. I have a lot of love for Carlos. And, you know, he's actually back in Brazil at the moment. But, you know, I'm sure he'll be back in Houston. And hopefully he can come to some of the games, me wearing that Dynamo shirt.
He was a very creative guy and had all the tricks and flicks a la a Brazilian. And he never quelled that in you. He really encouraged that out of you, didn't he?
Yeah, that is something that, you know, I've always kept, you know, kind of in my game. You know, it's something that, you know, it was what got me to the pros at such a young age. So you know, like, you know, I can't go away from that. And, you know, obviously you learn and, you know, you learn and you mature as you grow older. So, you know, I'm always thankful for Carlos always kind of, you know, telling me to keep that kind of, you know, that side of the game with me at all times. And thankfully, you know, it's carried me for 16 years playing professional, and hopefully it could carry me for another, you know, for a long time. So,
Arturo, we thank you for coming on the show. Hope it's first of many visits.
No, it will be. And like I said, you know, it's always a pleasure coming in here with you, Glenn. And I look forward to, you know, doing some more interviews as a Dynamo player.
You got it. Arturo Alvarez back with the Houston Dynamo, and that'll do it here for us on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 tonight.